Please listen carefully.
He marries someone with the same name as him, and his best famous friends also has the same name as him. I think he maybe can't remember names.
Space blindness? So they're all named Taylor?
He just finds other Taylors, and he's like, we're going to be
best. Because, you know, he's like, that's the name that he can remember, so as long as he keeps finding Taylors, he's good.
I'm just picturing he gets a tattoo so that he can remember even his own name. Just on his wrist. You're Taylor.
The best part now is that if he gets the name Taylor Lautner tattooed on himself, he can say it's for his wife, but it's actually so he can remember his own name. What's up, sisters? Welcome back to another episode of Everyone and Their Sister, the Broke and Jobless podcast. I'm Christina.
I'm Natasha.
And I'm Stephanie.
And this week we are doing a movie review of The Blackening. This is a movie that me and Nat saw at TIFF last year that we were super in love with, thought it was really great, so excited for it to come out, really stoked to actually get a chance to talk about it. It's just fully a cat making so much noise. But before we get into anything else about it, Steph, do you just want to tell people what The Blackening is? Because with the writers and actors strike, they can't promote this movie anymore, mm-hmm. even though it was in theaters. Mm-hmm. And it is currently available to rent, so we got to take it on us to promote this movie.
All right. So, contentious number of people. Seven friends go away for the weekend, only to find themselves trapped in a cabin with a killer who has a vendetta. They must pit their street smarts and knowledge of horror movies against the murderer to stay alive.
It's actually eight people. It is eight friends.
Eight friends slash plus nine. Another guy. Although, okay, you know what? Here's the thing. Is Namdi a friend? Hard to say.
That's true. Is Namdi? I think...
he's an enemy. Interesting. He's a lover. He's a guy on the periphery of the group sometimes. Could go either way. Arguably, he's one of the character's friends for sure, but I'm just saying. Maybe that's the contentious part.
It's also... it doesn't say this in the description, but they always get together on Juneteenth, which is like their like traditional day to get together because of... what is it called? Oh my god, what was I gonna say?
Because of I lost what my train Juneteenth of thought. Is? Because it's the real Independence Day? What are you going for here?
Yes, I was saying that, but also I was thinking of their party. That's what I was thinking of. Like in college, that's like when they used to party and stuff like that. They used to do their traditional yearly college parties. So they're college friends.
And I think what is not covered in the description is that this is like deeply a horror comedy with like an emphasis on the comedy for sure. It's based off of a skit that one of the actors and also the writers, Dwayne Perkins, wrote for Three Team, which was on Three Pete, which was on Comedy Central. And they came out a couple years ago, and it was literally like the intro to this movie was essentially the short that they had filmed previously, and then they just wrote out a whole movie for it, and like honestly worked out. This movie's super fucking funny.
I think I remember from the short that they wrote, it was supposed to be like, initially it's that scene in The Blackening where they're like, which among us is the blackest, and that was essentially the short. And like, clearly they were going through like a bunch of different things. Like, I think in this version they did like obviously a refined version in the film, but I think in the original short they were talking about like Gilmore Girls. It was very funny, like very like pop culture focused, very very cute.
And it's like too, so for people who haven't seen it, because there's like a good chance you've never heard of this or seen it at all, it didn't get a shit ton of marketing even when it was in theaters, and we realized because we were planning to watch it in theaters, it left theaters incredibly quickly. It would have been in there only for like 2-3 weeks max.
Yeah, I think 2 weeks max, really.
Yeah, so it was gone very fast. But the premise of that scene and the setup at the beginning is there are these two characters that have rented the Airbnb. They're in the house alone and they go into this weird little games room. And there's this like horrifying board game called The Blackening. Where they're being forced to play the game and answer questions in order to survive. And like classic style, they think it's just a joke. They don't know that it's anything real. And then when they fail, it turns out like, oh, this is very real. And so that comes up a little bit later too, where like the larger group is now playing this game that like the concept is kind of centered around. Having that kind of like ready or not feel, I guess, just for 20 minutes of the total movie. But they were saying when we went to watch it at TIFF and they did the interview afterwards that there is a ton of cutting room floor footage of them, like, quote unquote, playing this game because there were just so many questions and they kept filming them and they kept in the best ones. But they were like, there was just so much of it that was like, this was what the comedy piece was ultimately based off of. So it was like really long. And it's one of the funniest scenes of the movie for sure.
And I think I had seen that Tim Story and Dwayne Perkins had said, I think Dwayne and Tracy Oliver, I think, like all the basically essentially the co-creators of this movie, had been saying in terms of writing, like they had written out that scene, but that was a scene that was the most improvised for the actors. So they were like, absolutely improvise as much as you can. So I was like, that is super cool. So like, it's like fun when you're watching that scene, you're like, okay, what part does somebody was like, even like the Friends questions where they're like, oh, I haven't seen Friends, but I do know.
The Friends question is the best one because like this point of this board game is to like, quote unquote, test their blackness. So it's like different black trivia, but the fact that the Friends question is essentially white trivia. It's name all of the black people that have been in Friends, and just every single person going, I don't watch that show. And
like,
however,
the best is like Namdi every single time. Like, but so then you have watched it.
Like,
so good. It's also like I feel like we kind of skipped over this part, which is like the tagline, we can't all die first. This movie is essentially supposed to take on like that regular trope of horror movies where the black character always dies first, and it's like, what do you do when the horror movie has only black characters? They can't all die first. So it's trying to flip that trope on its head, which I think they did very well. Like, yeah, like, and they, and they, sorry,
I know, I was gonna ask, are we gonna spoil this? Should we put that, is that, this a warning that we're going to put in the video right now?
I would like to spoil it, yeah, because I want to talk about different elements of the movie for sure.
So let's throw that in there right now. We're going to spoil this. We're going to talk about the ending. I would say if you haven't watched it and you would like to, you should. For the people that listen to us that aren't very horror focused, it's like very myself. Light on the horror.
Yeah, I had a good time. I had a great time.
Yeah, it's not a very scary movie. There's a handful of jump scares in the whole thing. Like, the beginning setup doesn't have very much, and there's a certain point where they kind of realize what's going on that also then doesn't have very much horror. So you can watch this and be happy. So I think you really should, and then come back to listen to this. Because, yeah, I think it's something worth mentioning to what Nat is talking about is the best part of this, where outside of the two setup characters, which are actors that they definitely have to pay way more money for because they're, like, recognizable faces, like Yvonne from... from Insecure, who die immediately because that's the setup for everything that happens afterwards. No one else in this movie essentially dies. At least none of the victims do. And I think that's a really good turn of like, if none of us can die first, then that means none of us can die, period. Because there's one character in particular, it's almost outrageous that he's still alive at the end.
Yeah, truly. It's like also... very interesting because like I think I had been reading some interviews that Dwayne Perkins had done and like each of the characters, like each of the eight, actually technically nine, represent their own like archetype or whatever in blackness, and like they each have like their own like very very interesting stories, which is like, it's so interesting, you don't know anybody's last name, which is also kind of funny, like they're just like a first name and that's it. There's even a point where like Clifton, aka Carlton, says like, just when they're trying to call Morgan from the basement thinking that she's down there, they're like, say her full name, nobody says her full name. Like, it's just like, no we're not she's doing that, but Morgan. it's like, it's interesting because you get to see their own journeys, they have their own lives obviously, and like they're quite like full lives, and this is like the one time of year that they come together to celebrate. And like they do subvert a lot of like stereotypes, but they do lean into some of them, and it's like this comical thing, like the fact that King can't swim, and like there's like little things that you're just like, oh, this is so funny. And like what's really, what I have noticed, so I think we had a decent audience at TIFF.
Yes.
This is a fun movie to watch with a good audience.
Yeah.
But I will say probably the primary audience for TIFF was probably white, so it wasn't as good as it could have been. My friend of mine, Shanice, had watched it. Not Shanice. Different Shanice.
Not Shanice of Everyone and Their Sister fame.
Yes. Exactly. Different Shanice. She watched this when it came out in theaters in Texas with like an all black audience. And she said it was the best movie to watch in theaters with an audience like that. It was perfect.
Well, but to be fair, I think because we went to watch TIFF Midnight Madness as well. Which I think, like, one, in general, I think it had a little bit less of a white audience than other TIFF movies did because of what it was. Then you add in, it's a Midnight Madness audience. So, like, it's people that are primed, not just for horror, but horror comedy is where Midnight Madness lives the best. Same thing. Watching this movie alone is not the same as watching it in group. Even if you couldn't go to a theater to watch it, like, because I don't love the idea that, like, the idea of these movies that have to be watched in theaters, because now, especially with COVID, like, you shouldn't have to get a worse experience. But at the end of the day, this movie is best with people, and it's best with people who have the right energy. And you
and yell at the screen. Even, like, within the movie, they're yelling at each other like they're yelling at a movie. And I'm like, this is the right energy.
There's a scene where they're actually doing that. So because...
Literally.
There's a recording of someone tied up in the basement. So one character is watching the recording of that. And he's literally screaming at it like he's watching a movie going, don't go in there, girl. Don't go in there.
And then they pass that message along.
Everyone just keeps screaming it along to each other up to the door where the woman supposedly is behind. And it's just like, this movie is filled with those little moments that mean when you watch it with people who get it, it's fantastic. And I think alone, it does actually lose a little bit of something.
Well, I was looking at my TV Time comments because I'm always creeping in the comments.
And oh, I love the comments on TV Time. They're so funny.
Well, some guy was like, I don't find this funny. And I was like, I don't think it was for you based on nothing. But I was like, I don't think this was for you. Like, I didn't understand all the jokes, obviously. But I was like, I still had a great time.
Yeah, I like that they didn't explain all the jokes, and that's fine.
And, like, I feel like sometimes you're not supposed to understand everything, and it's not free. It's like when someone was saying they didn't like, I think it was The Little Mermaid or something, and I was like, yeah, because you're not a female. Like, not everything is meant to be for you.
But that's really what it was. So I ended up on the Reddit r/movies post for this movie when I was trying to remember who the other person that wrote it was, because I knew Dwayne Perkins was one of the writers. I couldn't remember the other
Tracy.
One. Yeah, so I ended up there, essentially, and it's just such a stark contrast where you can see the people this movie is not made for really showing why this movie is not made for them. Like, the number of white people that review this movie as if it's bad because it's not for them is, it's just shocking. And you can see it. You can see it with, like, a lot of stuff we've been talking about lately, but this one was such a clear example.
It's so interesting to, like, read people try to compare it to Jordan Peele, obviously, because, like, a black horror director? We can only compare it to the only other black horror director. Like, that's a... Oh. And it's, like, it's not even the same vibe. They're like, it missed the mark on, like, the horror or, like, the dramaticness. I'm like, it wasn't meant to be that. It was meant to be very, like, even the beginning of it is very much a spoof of Scream, which is very scary movie of them to do. And, like, I thought that part was very fun and very, like, funny to see. And I'm like, that really sets the tone of what you're getting. Like, it's bringing spoof horror back, which is, like, great, but, like, in a better way. Like, it's not cheesy, you know? Like, Scary Movie had the issue of being cheesy a lot of the time.
And going on for a little bit too long.
Yeah, for too long. And this one, like, there was no... I don't think there was a single joke that I found cheesy. Like, even, like, the jokes that were just kind of silly were just funny.
Yeah. It was the little moments, the little comments of it were all just well done. It worked well. And again, it's so many people trying to compare it to things like Get Out when, again, it's more comparable to Scary Movie. It's more comparable to Ready or Not. It's more comparable to Happy Death Day. Like, this is a horror comedy with a high emphasis on comedy. You can't connect it to what Jordan Peele has done because those things are, like, a little bit funny with a big capital H horror.
Yeah.
I think it's also interesting because you were talking about archetypes, that how, like, they're each playing a certain archetype. And, like, factually, there are not a huge volume of, like, famous black characters to reach into from movies. So when all these people are playing an archetype, it feels like you can pin them back to specific characters you've seen before. Like, to call Clifton Carlton is, like, such a one-to-one. Totally perfect. See it. Even though the guy that plays Clifton has come out and been like, I was mirroring him a little bit after the guy from The Prisoners, Paul Dano. Yeah, the guy that, like, plays the creepy guy that took the kids. He, like, mirrored it off of him a bit. But it's like so impossible to separate that from the Black Republican Carlton vibe and aesthetic that it's like, even though you were doing that, there's still this there. And like King in particular felt so much like every Marlon Wayans horror character that has ever existed. Allison was such a, like, if you've watched Girlfriends, felt like such a mix of like Joan and Lynn. Like, it's so easy to pull them back to the people. I mean, Shanika is every single Black best friend there's ever been in a movie. So it's like so easy to pair them back. Lisa, one thing I loved about Lisa and her hair in particular, she felt like such a like 90s Black mom. Like, I didn't have the right word for it, but like,
yeah, there was a moment where I was like, I feel like I've seen her, like, this haircut, I've seen it somewhere.
It was getting, I was like, I can't, I don't know which Halle Berry character it's giving, but I know, I feel this.
Oh god, that was so good.
And like, just the little references, they did that, those subtle pieces really, really well. And for people that didn't watch it, the like core underlying thing is they all get here and they're trying to figure out eventually, like, okay, who's running this game? Like, who are we essentially running from? Because it's someone that's hiding behind a mask. They find out that there's these two like white skinheads that own the Airbnb that they're in. So they take them out and it should be fine, except no, it's not, because the actual mastermind behind all of this was Clifton, this man that they like cannot even remember his name. And then it turns out that it's like a revenge plot. Because they,
and it all started with spades.
It all started with spades,
as it always does. Any like big fight always starts with spades. But like, it's really interesting how they, like, even from like the setup, like when they first meet the cop that stops King, and he's like, oh, well, the Connors don't usually rent out to, and they're like, oh, Black people. And I'm like, oh, that's such a big indication that this cop, who we find out later isn't actually racist mostly, or like isn't as racist as you think he is like, is it clearly knows that the Connors are. And so like, there's like that element in there that I was like, oh, that is so like, it's so interesting, because the whole time you're thinking, oh, this cop is just like terrible and this whole town is terrible. But then you're like, oh, the cop comes in later and you're like, oh, okay.
I was so torn on Ranger Wright though, because one of the reasons that, so they start off with him, to be clear too, he's a park ranger.
He's a so, partner, like, not even a
he
cop.
He shouldn't have a gun. He shouldn't have a gun, but he does. And they have that whole initial interaction with them where he's like giving some, he's going to, a park ranger is going to give this man a ticket for trespassing. And then he comes back to try to save them, but they don't ever really answer, I don't think. I mean, I don't remember why he had one of the masks that the other people were using.
He said he found it.
Did he say that he found it? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm still a little sus on Ranger White.
Obviously always be sus, but they killed him. So it's like, also like, okay.
They did. But it was a really good scene of them screaming like, we can't trust him. We can't trust him. And then he dies. Yeah. And I think Dwayne in the backseat is like, maybe we should have trusted him.
Like, oh, Dwayne. Shit. Dwayne is like my favorite character ever, and also right now my favorite person on Instagram. I just fucking love Dwayne so much.
One of the best parts about the Dwayne character is that his part of his shtick, I think, is very much being, at least at the beginning, the one that is making sense. Like, he is lucky, the one that is like, we shouldn't be playing this. What are we doing? When they get to the crux of like what sets off the like plan that Clifton is doing, which is the tell me who your blackest person is and send them outside so I can kill them, and they all play Clifton. To be fair, Dwayne is the person the most that's like, we should not do this. Like, this is a mistake. This is what it wants. It wants us to turn against each other. This is a mistake for us to do. But then there's only a couple seconds left and you got to do something, and he goes with it. But for so much of it, Dwayne is the person that is like, don't go in there. We are making a mistake. But they all end up falling into the same traps.
When he yelled, I voted for Trump. No, is that the part where they all gasped out loud? Because I also did.
Because I voted for Trump twice.
It's crazy because we'd already seen this. And even when he said, I voted for Trump twice, I still gasped.
And then when this movie was filmed, had Joe Biden won yet?
I don't think so.
So he was saying, I voted for him in the primaries and in the election. He was saying, I'm a Republican, multiple times.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to clear up, because I was like, what years did things happen?
The horror of it all. Truly.
Truly the horror of it all. One thing, too, one of the, like, underlying story, and I'm ready to get into this. One of the underlying stories of this, and I remember us talking about this when we were watching it at TIFF, and I felt it even stronger when I was watching it the second time. There is a, like, subplot about the character Lisa and Namdi used to date when they were in college. The implication mm-hmm. is definitely that they were on and off again a lot. He definitely cheated on her a ton. And now they are technically, quote unquote, not together anymore. But actually, they are together together again, but they're hiding it from everyone, particularly Dwayne, who is Lisa's best friend, because Lisa knows Dwayne will be pissed as shit if he finds out about this. So there's this, like, underlying little subplot of the, like, tension in the friendship, the kind of relationship thing that's going on there. And from the beginning, Namdi can go fuck himself, okay? And then watching this again, Lisa, shit friend. Sorry, Lisa. You're a horrible fucking friend. Dwayne was right the whole time. And then their little resolution of it all after she brutally bludgeons a man to death with a, like, fucking stair leg that's, like, covered in blood and guts. And their resolution is just her saying, like, I'm sorry, quickly. No, that's not enough for me, okay? Because what they did not acknowledge is that Dwayne was right, that she did not tell him because she was ashamed. And that mm-hmm. whole little sister argument of, I never asked you to support me, garbage, okay? Garbage. You don't need to ask your friends to support you. He's allowed to be mad about this.
This reminded me, I was literally having a conversation the other day with one of my friends about how it's really annoying when a friend breaks up with somebody and you're speaking shit on that man or woman or whatever, and then they get back together a fucking again, and then you look like a shithead, and you're like, ooh, I was there just supporting you. I mean, like, the thing is, you actually do believe those things because you know how they're wrong for that person for very many reasons and how they were unhappy, and you're like, how do we know this is, like, you just anyway, it's like we're all always talking about how, like, it's always the shittiest thing, and we're specifically talking about, like, somebody had broken up, and very funnily, they have gotten back together. This is such private information, but I will never mention who it is. But, like, they just got back together, I found out, and I'm, like, laughing because I'm like, we're living it right now. We're living this exact shitty situation.
What I always find when someone's telling you something about, like, a relationship, they're telling you the worst parts. Or this is what I remind myself. They're telling you the shitty parts, and they're not going to tell you the good parts because, like, they don't need to complain about that, so they're gonna tell you the shit, so you already have a skewed perspective.
I completely different perspective. The people that we know, they're the kind of people that are gonna tell you all the good things because they know how bad the bad things make the other people look, and they don't want you to think that badly, which means that sometimes the good things they share are horrible things, and that but means that you know that there's worse shit even hiding, okay? And then they keep coming back to that person, making the mistake over and over and over again. And let me tell you something. What about this showed that Namdi has changed, okay? We don't know that. He could still be a fuckboy.
Well, I still don't know. Well, Dwayne's like, you're going to not end up together no matter what. And I will be here. That's what I took from that.
Because Dwayne is the good friend. That's what I'm saying. He was the
good
friend.
It's like, why fight? Right. Why do that fight when you know it's not going to... They're not going to listen. Eventually you stop fighting and you stop saying your opinion because you're like, you're not listening to me and you got to figure it out on your own.
Infuriating. Sometimes they don't. Made me so mad, okay? Because one, I didn't like Namdi from the beginning when he was like, ooh, maybe you've outgrown this friendship, okay? Which the first time we watched it, I didn't realize until watching it the second time, that doesn't appear to be a thing at all. So, like, you're talking out of your fucking ass, Namdi. Okay, where's this coming from? You're causing problems in this friendship that don't even make sense. So already we should know this man... fuck shit.
That's always
okay?
A red flag when someone you know less time than your, like, long time friendship. Nope.
Him and that, like, little literally chain?
When Lisa was like, you really thought you said something, I was like, oh, god, I love that she caught him out on that, but still disagree with her being with this
but then
person.
Because then here's what she does after that I was like, unforgivable. A single sorry after beating a man to death is not enough. She left Dwayne to die. And she was like, oh shit, I should go back for him. She was never going back. She made that choice to leave him, and you know she was gonna stay with it. She was like, I'm going with Namdi, sorry man, you're small.
He's like, okay, it was a joke.
So I had a lot of favorite scenes from this movie, but my two favorite, number one, was the Set It Off reference.
So good.
So like, funny.
It's like the end of Set It Off, and then they all just start hugging.
They just, it was so good. And then The other scene that I really fucking loved is a scene at the end where Clifton has them all rounded up in the basement and they're talking with, like, you know, whatever, you know, black, like, telekinesis? The eye movement. Yeah, yeah, black telekinesis.
Telepathy.
Telepathy, yeah, yeah.
They weren't moving anything.
Moving things. But yeah, black telepathy, and, like, Clifton has clearly heard everything. I think that was one of my favorite fucking... I died because I wasn't actually expecting it, but, like, same. It also, like, made sense.
It's the best twist in that whole movie because, for the most part, it's not a big shock, the reveal.
Yeah.
Clifton is weird from the get-go.
He has an Android. We know that evil people cannot have Apple phones.
Yep. So, like, from the beginning, there's a bunch of little signs that Clifton is absolutely involved in this. The biggest thing is that he technically, quote unquote, doesn't even really die. He dies on a video and then is dragged off. So that immediately, you know, he's not dead. So there's a million things. But the fact, the biggest reveal that he can hear them because he can see them. So he can see their face and their look. So he knows what's going on. Fantastic. What a fantastic reveal.
My favorite part was the end when it's all over.
Oh, the firefighter part?
They're like, what do we do now? I was like, that's true. What do you do?
They can't call the cops.
They can't call the cops. So they start laughing. They're like, oh, I found a way around it. The firefighters, they can't shoot you. They still get shot with water.
Yeah. And they literally tumble away like weeds.
It's very funny. So good.
And also, throughout too, this movie was also the perfect time length. 90-minute movie. Yeah. It knew what it was. I think any longer and it would have dragged. It, like, especially because it's a comedy and it's one that is so referential and is filled with a lot of tiny jokes that kind of build into this larger story. They're like, this is going to get old. It cannot be too long. And perfection. I think that, like, 90 minutes is the exact time. Somebody else may have tried to stretch this into 2 hours because that's how long movies are now. And I think it would have made a much worse movie, even if there were some things that could have, like, expanded on a little bit more.
Yeah. Who's your favorite character?
I mean, it's... For me, it's hard because it's Dwayne, but it's also so funny because even when we were talking about this when we first watched it, there's just a part of you that also wants to believe that you're the Dwayne, you know what I mean? Like, the comedy type, the one that, you know what I mean? It's hard not to recognize both the good parts and the bad parts of yourself in that character. But definitely, I would say Dwayne and Shanika have it for me.
Her pharmacy and her little Birkin... Large Birkin, I should say.
Her purse that says you're fake just like this Birkin, fantastic. Yeah.
Or she's like, someone's trying to connect, and she's like waving her finger. No. That's not what you should be doing right now. Loved her.
Yeah, I loved her a lot.
And yours, Nat?
It probably would be the same between Dwayne and Shanika. I actually did... like Allison a lot.
High on Adderall.
Especially when she's on Adderall and she goes into like weird, like, what is it? Like martial arts / like predator mode. Like, it's so funny. And it's just like, it just feels, I don't know. There was something about it that just felt correct. And I was like, yeah, that is probably what would happen. Also, any jokes about her blackness or her whiteness, so good.
When they're having that scene debating who is the blackest and her going, oh, now that it's convenient for me to be black, suddenly it's not about this. And every time she would go to say white and she would just emphasize the WH more and more. My what? Daddy is white with a white.
So good.
I also have appreciation for King as a character, specifically as the character who should have died, only because he was shot 3 times.
No, twice. He shot once in the
same. You know, he was shot twice in the same hole, or he shot twice in the same spot, one hole, and then he later on gets shot with a crossbow arrow. There was something watching him, the scene where Shanika's in the water because she's going to swim to the other side. And then all of a sudden, the like blackface guy comes and he starts going to fight King. And King pulls up and it's like, I've jumped over fences. I've ran from the police. And he starts fucking like dancing with him essentially. I was losing my mind. I'm like, you are bleeding out. And but also, he like, was kicking his ass.
It was very funny because he was like, oh, you don't even know how to fight. And this man clearly has asthma and is like breathing so hard. This white man that's just like really struggling, like only clearly knows how to use a crossbow and that's his only skill. And I was like, wow. Also, there was a moment when Shanika jumped into the water and started swimming for what? Like, she's going to go to some other white cabin where they probably won't help her.
She gets halfway and swims back.
True. And there was a moment where I was like, that would probably be me.
Honestly, yeah, that checks out. There's also a thing with, I can't remember if it's King or if it's Namdi that does this, but I think Lisa is holding the gun. And she's holding it sideways.
Oh, so no, it's Namdi.
Is it Namdi? She's a mission. And then he just switched.
Flipped and corrects.
That was fantastic.
So funny. God, there's so many good jokes in this movie.
What about you, Steph? Your favorite?
My favorite part? I already said
character.
It.
Character.
Oh, character. No, I liked, I have to remember it. Shanika,
yeah.
I don't know, when she just, what she's saying directly at the... murder. I'm like, Dad would say that too.
her entrance with her and Dwayne in the laundry room.
Oh,
where she pops out again. If you're the most scared of horror movies in the world, you should still watch this. You're not going to be afraid. Like, it's not that kind of movie, but you need to watch it for that scene alone. And that happens really before any of the horror parts because it is so fucking funny. At one point, I can't remember what she says to him, but like he touches her wine bottle or something like that, and she gets mad. She's like, "Don't touch my Moscato." She's like, "That's peach and lavender, bitch," or something like that. And I'm just sitting there losing my fucking mind.
It's such a good scene. I really like X Mayo as well, the actress that plays Shanika, and I just feel like there's like an energy between her and Dwayne that I'm like, oh, this is perfection. God, I don't have anything else to say, I guess.
Yeah, there's not much. It's just one of those things where it's good. It's worth watching. It's super good. It's a shame that, like, it can't be promoted anymore, although I get why. Like, fully support the strike for both the writers and the actors, so, like, it is good that they don't. But it is a shame because, like, this movie also just did not have a lot of marketing, period.
Yeah, listen, if you're listening, if you want to rent it, I believe it's $4.99 on Cineplex. I don't know about in the U.S., it's not that expensive to even buy if you want to buy it. They are releasing a DVD, I think, soon, or if it's already out, DVD and Blu-ray. So it is now going to be physically available. You should buy it.
It's one of those things that's worth owning because it was worth watching again. I enjoyed watching a second time. The only thing was that I really wished I had watched it with people. I would have loved to have a bunch of people over and watch this movie.
Host a movie night.
Exactly.
Host a movie night, play this movie. I'm probably going to watch this movie again for a third time with a friend because I think she should really watch it.
I was trying to figure out of the two horror movies I watched this year, Scream 6?
6.
Oh, and this one, I picked The Blackening. Much, much, much
better. Was it 5 or was it 6?
I think it wasn't it 5? I don't know. V1.
That's 6. Yeah, that's 6. That's 6.
Yeah.
I know my Roman numerals.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I really enjoyed Scream 6, apparently. I thought it was 5. I quite liked it. Yeah. I also would pick The Blackening, too.
Yeah.
Not that I think it needs a sequel. I just want these people to also write another movie.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Like, I would love, even if it's not, like, horror comedy, write any other movie. Comedy movie, watch it. I'll watch it. Like, we know they're on point with their jokes.
Well, I think I really elongated this to the length that is an appropriate episode. Thank you guys very much for listening. As I said, if you haven't watched this, you should. Hopefully you did watch it, and you should watch it again with people. Just keep watching it. It was a good movie. It deserves money being put towards it. Highly recommend. Thanks so much for listening. We'll do another review coming up soon, and we'll have our next episodes out next week, where we'll be talking about our best books and various things of 2023 so far. Sort of how we're feeling about different books. Steph reached into the YouTube BookTube space tags, pulled out some questions for us to answer, and that's what we're going to do with our next episode. So be sure to check in for that.
Bye.
Music credit goes to Jazahar, but please listen carefully and learn about the wallpaper.
Okay, you know what, though? Can I say the one joke that I didn't get? And then I ended up Googling it, and I could not find an answer.
What if?
Was at one point, Namdi is talking to Lisa? Maybe it was this. I can't remember anymore who he was talking to. But he says, oh, you're strong. Strong, strong. Strong with a capital C. And I was like,
I also did not.
Is he calling her a cunt? I could not figure out what strong with a capital C meant. And I felt like ashamed of myself. But when I Googled it, I also couldn't figure out what it meant.
I assumed it was cunt.